Bhagavatam Itihasasrashina Prithya Mahakuta Rajan Prithya Datta Satrave Atraivo Dharita Purvam Itihasasrashina Prithya Mahakuta Rajan Prithate Datta Satrave Katra, in this connection, Eva, certainly, Udarita was recited, Purvam, previously, Itihasa, an old story, Surarishina, by the great sage Narada, Prithya, with joy. Mahakrato, at the great Rajasuya sacrifice. Rajan, O King, Prichate, to the inquiring. Adatta Satave, Maharaj Yudhisthira, who had no enemy. Translation. Formerly, O King, when Maharaj Yudhisthira was performing the Rajasuya sacrifice, the great sage Narada, responding to his inquiry, recited historical facts showing how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always impartial, even when killing demons. In this regard, he gave a vivid example. Purport by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. This relates to how the Lord exhibited His impartiality even when killing Shishupal in the arena of the Rajasuya Yajna performed by Maharaj Yudhisthira. Translation, please repeat. Formerly, O King, when Maharaj Yudhisthira was performing the Rajasuya sacrifice, the great sage Narada, responding to his inquiry, recited historical facts showing how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always impartial, even when killing demons. In this regard, he gave a vivid example. Om Aganatara Mandasya Gnanjana Sarakaya Sakshirul Mahitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. In this chapter, regarding the apparent contradictions in the Supreme Lord's being equal to everyone, is citing various examples through the history of the world, examples of demons, beginning with Shishupal. And through the Lord's dealings with these demons, showing how He is actually impartial. The Lord states in Bhagavad Gita, Samoham Sarvabhuteshu Namedvesha Stinapriya. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. But if one befriends me in devotional service, he is a friend to me, I am a friend to him. This is not partial, this is natural. The Lord reciprocates with the approach of the servitors. But whether we approach Him as a devotee or as a demon, He responds in a way by a means which is for our ultimate benefit. in that way he's impartial. Although his partiality is reciprocal with our approach to him. So Shishupal, Dantavakra, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Kumbhakarna, and Ravana are the six archetypal demons who personify the full extent of the archetypal enemies of the soul, the collective forms of kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, vatsarya, lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, and envy are personified in these six archetypal demons. And elements of these anartas exist within the hearts of all of us. And it's very reassuring and hopeful to hear and understand how the Lord redeems these demons. And as part of his eternal lila of reclaiming the conditioned souls from their sufferings caused by their own aversion to Krishna in this world, and uplifting them gradually on the path back home, back to Godhead. Today, the appearance of Lord Varaha gives precious examples about the Lord's well-wishing desire towards all of creation. In all of creation, this earth planet is especially sacred because it's the only place by which we can ascend to Goloka. It's the only place which is adorned with the town of Gokula and blessed, the only planet which is blessed with the bare lotus footprints of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who incarnates in other planets, but only on this earth planet, in the town of Gokul, does he adorn and bless the planet with his bare lotus feet, because he's a gopa, cowherd boy in Braj, and gopas don't usually wear shoes. So Gokul is the realm where it's like we use the analogy of Satvagun being like the airport by which one can board the airplane to achieve their destination. Well, Gokul is like very crude analogy of an airport, but the place where the jiva soul, the only place in all of creation where the jiva soul can actually ascend to Goloka. From other planets in the universe, one may attain Vaikuntha, or even possibly Dwarka and Mathura. But the highest abode of the purest, most intimate relationship of the individual soul with Krishna can only be achieved from the replica of Goloka on this earth, which is the blessed town of Gokul, which is like the crown upon the earth, and the crest jewel on that crown being Govardhan Hill with Radhakund and Shyamakund. So Gokul in this world is a replica of Golok, but it's also the place where the sadhana bhaktas from throughout the universe interact with the nityasiddhas who Krishna brings down in his lila to train us to leave this, not initially leave, but leave this planet to go to that earth planet wherever in the creation, whatever universe, Krishna is just performing his lila. To in that Gokul, where Krishna is at this time performing his lila, to receive our final training in this material world, and then graduate once and for all to go back home, back to Godhead. So Krishna's lila in Gokul is unique in all his avatars as demonstrating the noble occupation of man. And Srila Prabhupada, in his Gita Nagari prophecy, condensed into one verse, which is like the nutshell verse of that whole prophecy, the second half of his mission, wherein Srila Prabhupada wrote, before coming to America, that we need to have a place to demonstrate how man can live in harmony with nature, with other men, with animals, with devas, all unified on the harmonizing principle of service to Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada wanted to teach how man should live in harmony with nature based on the gifts of nature, of which the cow is very special, being the representative of the earth. And the bull or the ox is very special, being the representative of Dharma, and are like the mother and father for all humanity. When the balance, the harmony for which Krishna designed this world is disrupted by the exploitation of demons, it destroys the balance, which is meant to train us and edify us for returning to the harmony of the spiritual world. When Hiranyaksha, wanting to please his brother, Hiranyakashipu, was searching for a worthy adversary. This is after his massive exploits. And Srila Prabhupada explains that Hiranyaksha, being the personification of greed, plundered all the gold in the planet for his own egotistic purposes. And that plundering of the gold, all for himself, created such an imbalance in the universe that the earth plunged out of orbit and fell down to be immersed in the depths of the Garbhodak Ocean. So whenever the imbalance in the universe is to such an extreme that man has no hope of his own, the Lord comes and restores the balance, as he did in his appearance as Lord Varaha, who just lifted the earth on his tusks and replaced her back in her proper orbit. Meanwhile, Hiranyaksha, wanting to, because greed can never be satisfied. It can only be purified. It can only find satisfaction in purification. But as much as one tries to satisfy his greed by acquiring more and more, it's like putting fuel in a fire that just burns more and more consumes the soul with its burning anguish. So, Hiranyaksha, wanting to usurp not only the earth, but even the heavenly planets, found Indra's palace empty, because Indra had fled in fear of the demon. And then that demon, going to the abode of Varuna, mockingly fell at the feet of Varuna and begged him, "Please fight with me, O Lord of the waters." And Varuna was just so disgusted with his arrogance. He said, "Now I'm too old and I've retired from fighting, but your insatiable urge for conflict will be satisfied only by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And your pride and greed will be satiated only when you lie dead on the battlefield, conquered by Him, and become the food for dogs and jackals." So, enlivened by the prospects of finding a worthy combatant, he began searching through the sea. And there, Hiranyaksha met Narada, Narada Muni, and he proclaimed to him that this earth, Narada instructed him where he could find the Lord. And seeking out the Lord by following Narada's instructions, he found the Lord, Varaha, in the midst of lifting the earth. And he challenged him right then and there that this earth belongs to us, the demons. And when the Lord of Sacrifice is cut down, then all the demigods and sages will cease to exist. The whole tree of life will wither and die, and everything will belong to us, the demons. So the philosophy of nourishing the tree of existence, the tree of life, by placing water at the root of the tree, meaning offering sacrifice and devotional service to Krishna, who is the root of all existence, then our love and goodwill is distributed to all the unlimited parts and parcels, who are like the leaves and twigs and fruits and flowers on that universal tree. But when the root of the tree is cut, then the whole tree will wither and die. So this is the philosophy which inspires the devotees who want to show compassion and love to all living entities, but it can only be achieved by surrender and worship of Krishna. The demons also know the philosophy, and they want to cut that root so that the demigods will die, because without the root of the tree of life, then the tree withers and dies, and then everything falls into the hands of the demons. So when Hiranyaksha challenged Lord Varaha in a very arrogant manner, the Lord was disgusted, but he ignored him until he placed the earth back in orbit and restoring the balance and harmony in the universe. Then he took up the fight with the demon. And it was a very ferocious and tense fight, because the day was nearing its end and the demigods who were watching were very fearful that at times the demons seemed to be getting the upper hand. And finally, Lord Brahma just prayed to Lord Varaha, "Just finish him off at once, please, because the demoniac hour of twilight is approaching, when the demons are infused with extra strength. So please, kill him before that time." And with a glance laden with love, the Lord encouraged and assured Brahma that he would fulfill his prayer. And then the demon resorted to all kinds of conjuring tricks, which was bewildering and put the demigods in more and more anxiety, until the Lord with his Sudarshan chakra dispelled all the illusions and annihilated that demon. And then when the demigods came to offer their prayers to the Lord, they were astonished that the body of the demon, Hiranyaksha, was still looking not only vibrant but effulgent, even though he was dead, his spirit soul was gone, because of the touch of the Lord's lotus feet on his body. And Lord Brahma was amazed at how blessed is the fate of this demon, that those lotus feet upon which the yogis and sages and devas meditate in mystic trance has blessed by its touch this demon's body. So This is a very relevant story for this pastime, for today's world, because Srila Prabhupada explains that the modern day demons are just like Hiranyaksha in disturbing the balance of the earth by their exploitation of what in Kali Yuga is likened to gold, being petroleum. And when petroleum, which is like the blood of Bhumi, is exploited by those who are Rakshasas, who are not happy with the gift, the natural gifts of the earth, just as they are not satisfied with the natural gifts of the cow, but to satisfy their lust, are yearning for blood. And petroleum is just like the blood of the earth. And when that blood is exploited, it creates such an imbalance on the one hand. And on the other hand, it creates a global intoxication. Because petroleum is not biodegradable as a fuel or a lubricant. The Lord designed that human society would prosper and flourish, and man would be peaceful and happy and satisfied with progress in spiritual life without needing to conquer the universe, by living happily with the gifts of nature, of which the cow and the bull are the most precious. The cow takes what is most useless, grass, and grows everywhere, and transforms it to a host of precious products, like milk, which can make so many nutritious foodstuffs, and the manure, which nourishes and nurtures the earth. So the cow is such an emblem of sacrifice, taking that which is most useless, grass, and transforming it into the most precious elements of sacrifice. And like a mother is sustaining the whole planet as a microcosm of the earth herself, Bhumi, who also assumes the form of a cow. And when Bhumi was speaking, revealing her nature to Maharaj Prithu, who was so upset that when he became king and the subjects were complaining to him that they were just withering away due to starvation and malnutrition because the earth was not producing grains and her other gifts for the sustenance of man. And Prithu Maharaj understood that she was withholding her gifts, and being angry, he challenged her and was ready to kill her. And she appeared in the form of a cow and said, explained that you should never kill a cow or a Mataji. But he was so furious. You're withholding your part of the sacrifice. And she explained to him, I'm withholding because the demons have been so long exploiting my gifts for their own self-aggrandizement that I've withheld them within me. But the gifts, the seeds and herbs and roots, which were given me by Lord Brahma, have for so long been withheld that they can't again sprout new life. The seeds have become impotent and will not sprout at this point. It's been so long. So if the demigods and everyone else would just present me with a calf and a suitable milkman and a suitable bucket, I will produce milk again out of affection. So the demigods used Brihaspati as a calf, and they milked celestial substances like somaras, and all the living entities presented their appropriate representative as a calf with an appropriate container and milked whatever they desired and needed for their sustenance. And then the earth's reciprocal contribution due to her affection for her offspring was restored, just like a calf, just like a cow, out of affection, gives milk to the calf. And all the elements for sacrifice, as well as for harmonious living in this world, were returned. But in the Kali Yuga, when the global addiction to consumer goods has created a dependence on the blood of the earth in the form of petroleum to fuel and lubricate the intensified exploitation of the world, there is such an imbalance. Krishna created the cow for her gifts, like a mother, motherly gifts, and the bull as the father who would perform, who would work for the sustenance of the family in the fields, producing grains, tilling the earth, and is therefore the emblem of Dharma. But when the cow and the bull are exploited, as is the earth, as is religion, then the result is a global intoxication, because the bull is a source of power who maintains the family like a father, and like the cow, just lives on grass, and everything he produces is precious, as is that of the cow. And all the power and all the gifts given by the cow and the bull are biodegradable. They take a little bit from the earth in the form of grass and give back so much in the form of manure, which nourishes and nurtures and restores and revives the earth. But when the tractor, which Srila Prabhupada named the killer of the bull, replaces the father, and the father is unemployed, how can there be prosperity in the family? And the tractor, its byproducts are not biodegradable. Tractor runs on petroleum. When petroleum is burned and becomes hydrocarbons in the atmosphere, it's toxic to our air, our water, our soils, and our foods. And this is not more than just a disastrous health consequence, but our air, our water, our food, our sacraments. When the Christians pray, "Give us today our daily bread," they're not just referring to something to eat. They're referring to our sustenance in the form of devotional service. And water is a sacrament, is an allegory for rasa, relationships. And air, which we breathe, our very life breath, is the holy name of Krishna. But these sacraments become contaminated by the exploitation of the demons, and creates, since the Industrial Revolution, man in a short time has done more damage to this planet than man could ever restore, than man could ever heal. So where does the whole planet turn? It used to be to religion, to restore the harmony and balance. But the religions of the world today have become part of the global addiction. The addiction, the substance of abuse, is consumer goods, to which the collective society has become addicted. As a result, the whole ecosystem has become toxic, by which everyone becomes to some degree or other intoxicated just by breathing and drinking water and eating. So the condition of the planet today is much like it was when it plunged into the depths of the Garbhodak Ocean. And only the Lord could restore the planet to her proper orbit of balance. So, how does the Lord restore the balance today? All the pollution in the environment is the gross manifestation of the subtle pollution of consciousness, because creation proceeds from subtler to grosser elements, beginning with what's in the consciousness. If lust and anger and greed, pride, illusion, envy are dominating our consciousness, then greed will predominate and the whole will suffer. So when the avatar for this age, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was revealing to the glory, to the devotees, that he is the source of all the avatars. And he has come in this age, as he comes in every age, to give a process to restore the balance to the world. He went to the house of Murari Gupta and became immersed in a very unusual mood. The Lord began roaring, Shukara, Shukara, which means boar, boar, Murari. What? He went into Murari's temple and saw a beautiful water pot. And Lord Gauranga raised that water pot on his nose. And then he revealed before Murari the four-legged form of Varaha, whose form of a boar was extraordinarily beautiful. And from this gigantic form of Varaha, looking down upon Murari with his beautiful lotus eyes and a glance filled with compassion and love, ordered him to offer prayers. But Murari was so astounded by this form, he said, "My Lord, only you yourself knows your glories." And others can know your glories only if you yourself reveal them. Anantashesh, with his millions of hoods, holding all the universes upon one, with his other millions of mouths, is singing the glories of Lord Gauranga since time immemorial, but never reaches the end of even one day's glories of the Lord. So how can I glorify you? And then Lord Gauranga became very angry. He was venting his anger at the inauspiciousness of the study of the Veda from an impersonal perspective. And he began chastising that wretch in Kashi who dares to declare that my form is impersonal and cuts me to pieces by his explanations of Veda. My touch, which uplifts and purifies the world, he is saying is simply Maya. But now, he told Murari, I will reveal to you the essence of all wisdom. That I am the same sacrificial boar who previously appeared to lift the ocean out, the earth out of the depths of darkness in the Garbhadak Ocean. I have returned in this age to lift the earth out of the darkness of ignorance by Harinam Sankirtan. And then he explained, which also substantiates what Shukadeva Goswami is establishing in this chapter. The Lord said, when I uplifted the earth in my form as Varaha, she became pregnant by my touch and gave birth to a beautiful child named Boma, son of the earth. And I personally instructed him, Lord Varaha, the expansion of Lord Gauranga was telling Murari Gupta, I personally instructed my own son, Boma, in religious principles. And he became a very dutiful, righteous king, protecting the Vaishnavas and the gurus and the good people. But then, by association with Bana, became cruel and arrogant and began oppressing the same persons he was formerly protecting. And then I cut him down. So I will not hesitate to even cut down my own son if he becomes antagonistic to the devotees and the principles of bhakti. But I will bestow my mercy on even a demon. Because everyone is the son and daughter of the Supreme Lord. He loves them all equally. But he reciprocates with our approach to him. Formerly, in the Satya Yuga, there was an appearance of Varaha, whose instructions were very relevant and illuminating. In Kulia, in Navadvip Dham, where today there is a temple of Lord Varaha, there is a devotee in Satya Yuga, Vasudeva, who worshipped a deity of Varaha with such devotion and such feeling, always praying to the Lord that, please appear before me, because if you do not appear before my eyes, then my life is useless. And then one day when he was worshipping his deity revealed his living form and just expanded as tall as the sky. His form of Varaha, looking down with great affection upon his servitor. And he explained, he revealed to that devotee, Vasudeva, that that same place where Brahma performed sacrifice to invoke my appearance to kill Hiranyaksha, that same place where I appeared to answer Lord Brahma's prayers is present here in Navadvip Dham.